The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
And we are back, folks. We are the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb and Matt the Miz Mizzler on the other side of the county filling in for Ira Weintraub today. The Michigan Basketball Insider Podcast. Many of you have heard it. Tim McCormick and I do it every week during the basketball season, bi-weekly during the off season. And so this was one of our on weeks. And we had the great pleasure of catching up with Shondi Brown, who in his lone season as a Wolverine made great memories, made such a great impact, was a key cog in the wheel on the way to a Big Ten championship and a run to the Elite Eight. And he joined us on the podcast for the second time this season to reflect upon his Michigan journey, to look ahead to what comes next, not just for himself, but also for Michigan. And then Tim McCormick and I had a pretty lengthy discussion about what we think or how we think things are going to unfold for Shondi as he embarks upon his professional career. So here is that lengthy excerpt from the Michigan Basketball Insider Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Here's Tim McCormick and I, joined by Shondi Brown.
And we're back, folks, here on the Michigan Basketball Insider with a guy who made an unbelievable impact this past season with the Michigan Wolverines as a transfer from Wake Forest. And boy, did he build a legacy in just one season. Talking about Shondi Brown, who joins us here on the podcast. Shondi, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
Doing great, man. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no, Shondi, you did an excellent job. And Michigan basketball is so lucky to have you and the family. Really want to find out, what was your favorite part of being a Michigan basketball player this year?
Just being with a group of guys every day. They were like family to me. And even including the coaches, just being around them, that was probably my favorite part of the Michigan season. But it, like I said, besides that, it's a lot of great parts of the season. Definitely with me, just, winning the Big Ten regular season champs, that was really huge because I'd never done that in the previous years at my old school. But, yeah, just having that feeling and doing it on senior night as well, that was a big part. And, also I feel like just winning games in the tournament, that was really a special moment. And, advancing teams and beating teams, that was just great. So
I spent the whole year thinking about this, and I know Sam and I talked about it. It must have been just an incredible challenge to face the isolation. Here you are away from your family in a new city, on a new campus. You can't go anywhere. What were some of the challenges that you faced being in a quarantine situation throughout the pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, basically, you can't really be a regular college student. You can't go to parties. You can't, hang around certain people in large groups because, we're in the season and we're getting tested six days a week. So, I kind of couldn't really live the college life I wanted to live, and especially, it's my senior year. But that was one of the struggles. And for me, another struggle was like the cold, because I'm from Florida. So I'm not used to the snow. So that was one of the struggles for me, but I got through it though. Michigan did a great job of, keeping me warm and things like that. But yeah, the cold was definitely one of my struggles for real.
So Shondi, I would like to rewind, and I know you've talked about it before, but now that you're Michigan journey is behind you as a player, take me back through the process of coming here, because one of the storylines of the season was that you were an outstanding player off the bench. You were one of the best players in the portal, and you were looking to not only win but improve your pro prospects. Now, you did those things, but you did it coming off the bench, and I'm curious, was that ever talked about, the possibility of coming off the bench during the recruiting process? Or is that something that as you got into the flow here, you realized that would be a distinct possibility and ultimately how it worked out?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't really talked about. Coach Howard kept it real with us. He told everyone, and he told me on my Zoom call, that this is the starting spot. Everyone has to earn their starting spot. And, everyone was battling, And it came down to me and Eli. And, you know, he started Eli. And he brought me to the side and was like, you know, he wants me to come off the bench because he says I bring so much energy to the team and so much, you know, so much emotion to the team that brings us up. So told me that, and I accepted that role. And, you know, I never asked no questions on why I'm not starting and things like that because Eli's a great player as well. I just, you know, had to accept my role because I know this is a really talented team. So when I came in, I had to do what I do best, energize the other four other guys that's on the court with me and just, you know, just play my game. So,
yeah, man. And look, you know, you look at last year's draft, you know, Patrick Williams, number four player in the draft, he came off the bench the whole year. So
yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, teams look at what you bring to the table, even if it is coming off the bench, and you obviously had a starter's impact. But here's the thing. You had it in a way that at least those of us on the outside didn't see coming. You were a 32% sure. three-point shooter at Wake Forest. You shot 42% at Michigan. Now, Randolph Churches told us you can shoot, but I'm curious, did you consider yourself as good a shooter as you wound up being here, or did you improve on your shot when you got here?
Yeah, most definitely. I definitely stayed in the gym all summer. And like I said, Wake Forest coaches, they worked me out a lot over the summer and things like that. And they definitely knew I was way better shooting than 32%. You know, so I know that was one of my, you know, biggest things I wanted to work on this offseason. I was shooting the three ball better, and I stayed in the gym a lot. And I feel like, you know, I proved that I'm a really good shooter. So
Shondy, the last 5 minutes of the UCLA game, you're probably saying I'm done with that. I don't even want to talk about it, but I think back to that game a lot. And the last 5 minutes of the game, you made a three to tie it. I think it was like 45 or 46. You grabbed two rebounds and had a steal. In that game, you were 3 for 5, 2 for 3 from three. You had 9 boards. I thought you were Michigan's best player against UCLA. And I leaned over to my wife and I said, Shondy needs this shot. Was that discussed in the huddle? Can you take us back to those last few trips? Because you were the hottest shooter and you didn't get the shot. Was it discussed in the huddle? What were you thinking down the stretch there? Did you want that shot?
Yeah. I mean, definitely. I feel like everybody, you know, on the floor wanted the shot. But, you know, we ran, you know, a perfect play, you know, for Franz. And he had a wide open look and he missed it. It was a great shot. I thought it was going in. But yeah, you know, I just, you know, we gave it to, you know, our best player, and he decided to take the right shot, which, you know, was, you know, coming off the screen and, you know, pulling up, and, you know, unfortunately he missed it. But, you know, we're living, you know, if he makes it or misses it, we're living with this all.
Great. When you're preparing for the draft now, what are you doing to get ready? Are you staying in Ann Arbor? Do you have a trainer? You know, what is that process like? For our fans that are trying to find out, you know, what that draft preparation process is like.
Yeah, for right now, I don't even know, to be honest, because, you know, COVID, I don't know if it's going to be workouts. So I'm just all over the place right now. I'm back at home right now, just, you know, this whole week I'm, you know, having some meetings with some agents and figuring out which one would be the best fit for me and things like that. So this whole week I'm worried about that. I'm also working out back at home. I have a trainer back at home in Florida, so I'm down here. And, you know, just basically, you know, just to get away to see my family. I haven't seen them since, I haven't been home since August. So, yeah, so just seeing them is good, you know, talking about, you know, having meetings with agents and working out and, you know, just about trying to stay in shape and things like that. So
you see, you kind of messed up, Shondy, because now the temperature is, you know, it's beautiful here in Michigan. You waited all this time, and now that it's nice, you leave.
Right, I'll be back up like in a few weeks. Too. I got to get my second vaccine shot, actually.
All right.
Yeah, but so you have been through it. You chose Michigan. You felt like you, as far as the coaching staff, the fit, you felt like it'd be good. It wound up being that way. As you look back on it, can you take me into a game, a moment, a coaching point that stands out to you as, man, this is why I came to Michigan. This moment, this thing, this takeaway, this is why I came to Michigan. This is why a guy in the portal now, this is why you should come. What kind of coaching advice, coaching influence, player influence that you get here that you can share with us that maybe was so impactful to you that you think it's the kind of thing that other guys should want to come and experience?
Yeah, probably just, I don't know, what game was it? I don't know. Probably when we played at Ohio State, they, you know, they were those two teams. We were both top five in the country at the time. I think we were number two and they were number three. And, you know, that's what, you know, that's what you come for. You come to Michigan to play in big games like that. And, you know, it really, you know, brought a lot of us, you know, that, you know, we just had to basically play our games. But and then we ended up with the win. And I think we were underestimated that we were going to lose that game. But, you know, we knew that we were capable of, but we had a really good team. But, you know, that's why you come to Michigan to play in big time games like that. And, you know, so, and that's why, you know, that's one of the big reasons I feel like I came to Michigan to play in games like that.
When you look back at the coaching influence, where did they help? Where did Michigan, where did Coach Howard, Coach Isley, Coach Washington, Coach Martelli, where did they help Shondi Brown's game the most?
Yeah, everything really, defensive side, offensive side. You know, seeing things I didn't see from the court. Just, you know, telling me, you know, if my shot's short, you know, telling me get more lift. Telling me I could have done this on defensive side. Telling me I could have done this. Made an extra pass, you know, I could have shot that shot. Just, you know, we watched a lot of film in practice. In Michigan, we watched tons of film. And even one-on-one, I had a lot of one-on-one film sessions with Coach Saadi Washington and Coach Isley, but more Coach Washington. So, and we, you know, we broke a lot of things down and things like that. So that, I feel like, you know, that really helped me. And just for them to take the time out of the day to have a film session with me, show that they really care about me and, you know, how I can help the team out.
Shondi, final question. So when you prepare for an NBA career, do you find yourself studying NBA players? And is there a guy or two that you'd like to pattern yourself after and you know, some of the same skills?
Yeah, not really. I just try to be myself. I don't try to be like nobody else. I mean, of course, I have, you know, a few favorite players in the NBA, but I don't need to try to be like them. I need, you know, develop my weaknesses to strengths and, you know, keep working on my strengths as well. But yeah, just keep working hard like I have been this whole summer and my whole college career. And I feel like big, good things are happening.
Last one I have for you is tell us about the younger guys that maybe didn't play. We know what to expect from Hunter next year, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, some of the other guys like T. Will, like Zeb, you know, the players that we didn't see as much of, what should we expect to see from them next year based on what you saw in practice all year?
Most definitely. And I feel like Zeb and T-Will will definitely have a big year this next year. They stay in the gym. You know, a lot of, you know, freshmen, when they come in and not playing, they be out of it. But, you know, they always were clapping for us, cheering us on, telling us what we could have did or things like that. And, they, you know, they always had a happy and positive attitude. And, you know, which on a lot of teams, you won't really see that. If a player is not playing, he's just going to get in his shell and, you know, not help the team out. But, you know, T-Will came in the tournament, made some big plays for us, you know, because we knew that Isaiah Livers was out probably for the rest of the season. So we knew T-Will needed to step up, and which he did. And definitely Zeb in that first tournament game versus Texas Southern, he came off the bench, gave us some good minutes. I think he hit two or three threes, which was huge, and things like that. And that tells you that they were locked in just because they weren't in the rotation or things like that. They didn't soak them up. You know, our coach says, you know, always says next man up. So, you know, you have to be ready. And, you know, we know that they have the talent. They're at a high Division I basketball school and they got here for a reason. So they just went out there and played their game. But I'm definitely happy to see them have a good year next year. And I have no doubt they will.
Shondi, thank you so much for joining us. You know, you brought a lot to the Michigan Wolverines, and we really enjoy talking about you this year and studying your game. And we know great things are coming in the NBA. You've got some big fans from Sam and I.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thanks, Shondi. Appreciate it, man.
Yep.
Tim, always a pleasure to catch up with guys, you know, guys who can take us inside to what it was like during the season. And this was a fantastic ride that they took us on this season. And Shondi Brown was a big reason why it was fantastic. A guy that I'll remember, just amazing to see the 10 percentage points, Tim, he improved his three-point shooting percentage. A 3-and-D guy, when I think 3-and-D, I think a guy like Bruce Bowen in the NBA. Now, not the same kind of player, but that's the kind of role that I envision for him, at least early in his professional career. I'm curious, is there anyone specifically that he reminds you of?
He does, and it's not somebody that everybody probably knows the name or his game. But to me, I watch Shaundi Brown, and he's very similar to Khyree Thomas, who was with the Pistons for the last 2 years. He's in the G League now with San Antonio. But he played at Creighton and was a two-time defensive player of the year, averaged about 15 points per game. And he was drafted in the mid-30s 2 years ago. It didn't really work out for him so far, but he's still really young. And so just like with Khyree, the next step for both Khyree and Shaundi is to be able to be a driver. Mm-hmm. I thought Shaundi was outstanding in every way last year. He was impactful. He was a leader, kind of like when Charles Matthews came in and fit in so well when he transferred from Kentucky to Michigan. I think that he's a really good success story. And when I think about the development of Shaundi Brown's shot, I do remember your Randolph Childress interview, and he said he's a really good shooter. 32% at Wake Forest, that's marginal. 42% at Michigan probably gets you drafted. Mm-hmm. But the big thing that I need to know is when he was at Wake Forest, he had the ball in his hands all the time. He's a starter. He got a lot of shots up, but he was also that featured weapon. Mm-hmm. And every defense was loaded up to stop him. And a lot of his three-point shots were probably forced. Mm-hmm. The difference at Michigan last year, a lot of his threes came off a post touch for Hunter, mm-hmm. and he was on the other side and kicked it to Shaundi for an open shot. Or there were three or four passes, a drive and kick. So the difference is that Shaundi Brown had wide open shots this year. And so I just wonder, did he improve his three-point shooting by 10%, or was he getting a much more open look? And that's something that the NBA scouts are really good at figuring out with the analytics. So that's kind of my observation on him. But 3-and-D, no doubt. He can do both of those really well. The other thing to remember, Sam, some guys can knock down a college three with ease. It's a big step when you move it back an extra foot and a half. I feel like I could knock down a college three, but if you move me back to the NBA three, it was just a step outside my range. So that'll be interesting to see as well.
Yeah, it's an interesting debate. And to answer, talking about Shaundi, was it the quality of the look or the quality of his shooting that improved? It's probably a bit of both.
Right.
You put as much time in the gym as he talked about putting in the gym, could really see it having an impact on his shooting ability. But there's no question. Look, make no mistake. We don't have to go back and look at the tape. No, he was getting better shots at Michigan. I mean, drive and kick, yep, post touches. He got better looks at Michigan. So that he was able to knock him down, though, is going to go a long way, because no one was saying 3-and-D for Shaundi Brown coming out of Wake Forest. No one. And it's the irony is that's what we thought he was going to do, was be a driver. And he was not put in the situation, because they didn't put him in ball screen situations like they did, you know, Franz or Zay, that just or Mike Smith. They didn't really do that with Shaundi. And I think he has that, at least looking at his Wake Forest film. He has some of that in his arsenal in the pre-draft workouts and that kind of thing. It'll be interesting to see how much of that he's able to showcase, because I think that will go into his draftability as well. But definitely helped himself out coming to Michigan. And that is something that I think, if you're Juwan Howard, Tim, say, look at this guy. He got 10 fewer minutes. His scoring average dipped a few points. And his draft profile is higher because he fit into a role. He played defense. He was a big-time player on a winning team, and he could hit jumpers. We made sure to showcase his jump shooting ability and look at his draft status. Now, you can pitch that out on a recruiting trail, and I think it's going to be something that's very appealing to guys who want to be developed, Tim.
And that was our an excerpt of our conversation with and about Shondi Brown. We had most of the podcast was dedicated to talking about portal strategy, transfer portal strategy, in anticipation of Eli Brooks's return. We did that podcast before Eli announced his return, but we anticipated that it would happen and talked about what the approach would be. Would Michigan still be looking for help, especially at the point guard position? Our ultimate conclusion on that was yes. And we tossed back and forth some names and, you know, a lot of depth and detail from Tim and discussion between he and I about how different guys who are in the portal would fit in on Michigan's roster. You can find that podcast wherever you get your podcasts, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, you name it. You can find the Michigan Basketball Insider. You can find us back here on the other side on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket.